able to enjoy their getaway for a few weekends. But after the first heavy rains, they discovered a major flaw in the home's foundation, causing serious water damage. I had run into my friends not long before and asked them how they were enjoying their beach house. "Well, it is a beautiful house, and we really enjoy it when we can get away. Unfortunately, we don't seem to be able to get away and enjoy it as much as we had hoped. And on top of that, the mortgage payments, the maintenance, the utilities and upkeep all made it a bit of a drain on our resources, so we're ending up spending more time at the office to pay for it, and we can't seem to find the time to get up there as often as we would like." Our break came to an end, and the Dalai Lama continued his line of thought.
"So, in the final analysis, even in the case of someone who pursues money just for the sake of more money, there is still somewhere in the depth of his or her mind the belief that this is somehow going to make him or her happier. The ultimate motivation still is to promote one's greater happiness. If this is so, then allowing oneself to become a slave of money and greed is self-destructive. It is defeating their very purpose. Instead of promoting greater happiness, it brings misery, the suffering of never-ending wants. In contrast, those who never lose sight of the purpose of money and have the ability to relate to money with a healthy perspective, even though such people may actually possess less money, will enjoy a greater sense of well-being with regard to wealth and money. So ironically, they may be poorer in terms of actual material wealth, but they are in reality richer, for they are able to understand the true worth of money and are freed from the unrealistic expectations about what wealth will provide."
Still thinking about the opulent lifestyle of luxury cars and vacation homes of some of my acquaintances, I couldn't help but contrast that with the life of simplicity led by those who lived here in Dharamsala, particularly the community of Buddhist monks and nuns. Thinking about this, I asked, "In the past, you've mentioned the Buddhist concept of right livelihood, a concept that I'd like you to talk more about later. But I'm wondering, is there also a particular Buddhist approach or attitude about money?"
"The Buddhist concept of right livelihood does not have any implications of making any kind of moral judgments upon an affluent lifestyle or the amount of money one makes. Of course, if an